the people, and power to the gang. Power to Port Adelaide, where we give our name. And Albert and sons and daughters, and the South Australian.
Welcome to the 1870 Hour, presented by New Vision and the Port Club, coming to you live on Port Adelaide Fan Radio, a fan-driven online radio station dedicated to the Port Adelaide Football Club. I'm Al, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Phil and the Fox as we continue to discuss one of Port Adelaide's most defining seasons, 1990. How you going, boys?
Going on. What's happening?
Who are we saying what's happening to? Like, you've asked us how we're going, Al. We've answered, and you just don't reply.
I feel a little bit, well, actually a lot better this week than I did last. I was a bit depressed last week, to be honest with you. I thought the wheels had fallen well and truly off. But, you know, Melbourne have done okay this year, and I thought we played some brilliant passages of footy against them. So, yeah, feeling a lot happier about things, to be honest.
Same. No, it was good to get a decent-sized win as well, not, you know, to be stressed about it a bit for the first quarter and a half, but after that, just enjoyed the show. It was good fun.
And there were some really good passages of play as well, like some just classy football. You know, it wasn't like we just scragged our way over the line. There was some sort of Port Adelaide of the last couple of years in there as well. So, watching Robbie Gray, like when he hit Matty White on the half-forward flank, you know, that was absolute platinum football, that was.
What were your thoughts, young Alistair?
I was going to say, we played some pretty poor football the first quarter and a half, though. But for some reason, and I'm not exactly sure what instigated it, but yeah, after about the 10-minute mark of that second quarter, we played fantastic football. Like, those six goals in the second half of that second quarter, we were able to get back playing our football on our terms. And the guys were playing... they had care for their players, as Ken said, able to play block for each other and give each other space. It was great. And, that second half was just magnificent.
It just happened so quick, though, didn't it? One minute, we're losing, everything's looking pretty grim, and then the next minute it's like, oh, geez, we're actually up by a couple of goals now. It was awesome. Yeah. And it was probably the first time, I reckon, besides the Hawthorn game in that first quarter, where we've just been able to pile on a bunch of goals in a very short period of time, which is something that we were able to do quite a bit last season.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, our scores in the last few games, we've been scoring, you know, just paltry scores, and it's been really average. But I think that that Melbourne game, to me, sort of epitomises our season, and probably, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if it's a fair chunk of our season, that it's sort of sporadic and, you know, there's a lot of good and bad and a bit of a lack of consistency. And I think that's been the tale of this year so far. And why that is, obviously, is the million-dollar question. But I think that that's probably something that we're going to have to get used to until it really does gel for us.
I think, just moving on a bit, but I reckon the Bulldogs game this weekend is going to give us a really good indication as to whether, you know, we've actually turned the corner a bit. So I'm a bit nervous about this week, but I'm hoping for a decent victory.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, in times gone by, I think you'd sort of say we struggle more against the size like your Sydneys and your Frios, where they sort of put that clamp on and go man on man and we can't get any time and space. So in a shootout sort of scenario, like you'd expect the Bulldogs to offer, it'll be really interesting to see whether we just, you know, whether it's just an attacking blitzkrieg, and we should have the firepower to win that, but you certainly can't, losing to Brisbane, you can't take anything for granted this year, I don't think.
And the most annoying thing about losing to Brisbane is they haven't done a thing since either.
Yeah,
it's not like they were, you know, found a bit of form in the last couple of weeks. They're getting spanked again.
Well, it shows how
that makes it even more annoying.
It shows how far off the boil we were to lose to them, though. You know, we were just so bad that game. Like, oh, man, that was just horrible, horrible to watch. Same as the Richmond game. You know, that was amongst the worst football I've seen us play in years, to be honest. So it was great to have that second half and, you know, Boakey had a shock in first half, and the way he just, you know, like, he's just such a good Port Adelaide leader. He just dug deep within himself and dragged the team, you know, up to another level. And the big leaders in the midfield, like Ebert, Boat and Ollie, just, you know, they just lifted to another level. Kenny obviously implored them to lift their games, and yeah, they were just brilliant. Like Ollie again, mate, how good's that kid? Seriously, he's in, his career could be just anything more, I reckon.
He's a gun, absolute gun.
He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys that you would just, like, it's hard to imagine a number that you would say no to on his contract. You know what I mean? Like, you would just do anything possible to keep him at the club. He just offers so much on and off the field. Yeah, I can't speak enough accolades for that guy.
Now, I've heard going around and some rumours going around that, like, with Paddy Ryder being out and then we had a return to form with going with a different structure with having the one ruckman with Lobie, do you boys take any credence that maybe we have been playing a bit tall, but over the past, like, beginning of the season?
And that's not really.
We haven't done as well?
I mean, Ryder's pretty agile, isn't he? Like, you know, in theory, that guy, you know, he can run, he can leap. Look, to be honest, I hope that we haven't been playing too tall, because, you know, I think Ryder, you know, his upside is massive. And I want him to be in the team, and I want him to contribute well. You know, the bottom line is there are a bunch of players that were off. You know, Westhoff frustrated me in that first term or two. I reckon he gave away about 5 or 6 free kicks.
Yeah.
But then he had a good game. But I think, you know, you look at, you know, some of those players, Westhoff's been really down over the last few weeks. Had he been playing well, Paddy's not been doing a bad job either. You know, I'd like to think that he's in our best lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a bit of bollocks, to be honest with you, to say that he's been upsetting our structure. I mean, Franklin was an extra tall, plugged straight into the Swans, and they went all right. And it's just I think it's a case of players out of form, and no one player is going to make the ultimate difference for or against your form, you know. And, you know, I mean, you take a captain out of a side, and certainly it's hard to replace a captain or something like that. But the centre half forward, or sort of full forward ruck that he plays, I can only see how that would add value to the side. And to say we're one runner down, well, I don't see it in my eyes. I really don't see it at all. We've got a lot of youth in that side and some good legs. No, I think it's just people clutching at straws.
We're just playing poorly, but now we're going to be playing well from here on in.
Let's hope so.
Sorry.
No, you're right.
Okay, okay. Those three losses, though, that we had in a row, I actually reckon that's three of the most difficult losses for me to have taken as a Port fan, because, you know, we had our dark years, obviously, you know, between 2008 and 2012, but there was a lot of that where, you know, we as Port fans probably expect us to win, but there, you know, was a general expectation we weren't going to go that great. But the last 3 weeks, I was just thinking, our season is slipping away. And, you know, obviously it's not back on track quite yet. But, yeah, fingers crossed we get a good victory this weekend, and then we can start planning to buy some tickets for the grand final, I reckon. What do you reckon, boys?
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was sitting there thinking, I just did not expect the wheel to turn this quickly. You know what I mean? Like,
in 5 minutes as well. Bang. Done.
No, I'm talking about the losses that we had. Oh, like, okay. The club was sort of back. You know, I was sitting there thinking, man, this is a real test of how loyal our fans are and how many bandwagoners we've got, and, you know, how many people genuinely want to watch Port Adelaide rather than just rock up for a social occasion to see, you know, a team win. And to the fans' credit, the couple of, you know, because how many games have we won at home now? One?
Yep.
So one win, 4 losses, I think that would be, wouldn't it? Or 1 win, 3 losses anyway. And people keep rocking up. And, you know, you'd expect Saturday night we'd get close to a full house. And I reckon that that's a bit of a credit to the Port supporters. Just, I know it's only a mini slump, but I sort of was a bit worried. Like, and, you know, listen to a lot of social media, and particularly opposition supporters, tarps will be coming out and, you know, bandwagons will be jumping off soon. I was just thinking to myself, please no. Like, that would undo so much hard work. And so it's just so important over the next couple of years for us to have on-field success, just to embed that support amongst the, you know, the general community, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be honest, though, those tarps comments irritate the absolute crap out of me.
That's what I
say. Which is probably the idea of it. But it's just like, far out, man. Like, it's done. It's over. We can't win. You know, if we get a crowd, it's bandwagoners. If we don't, it's, you know,
yeah,
bring up the tarps.
And then when we're, you know, smashing the competition, it's like, yeah, but you'll always have 119. And I just think, whatever. You know what, the way I look at that sort of stuff is I just think, I actually sort of don't care, because I think undisputably in my mind, and you know, there's a few Melbourne clubs that could probably have some right to claim the same thing, but Port Adelaide is the most romantic football club in the land. And, you know, we have the highest winning percentage of any professional football club in Australia. And that just adds to the romance, you know what I mean? Like a massive loss in a grand final. Well, look how many grand finals we've won to offset that, you know what I mean? It just adds to the Port Adelaide story. And it honestly, like, obviously it's a grand final which we're never in, but I don't let it stress me out just because some clown from the Crows brings it up. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, look at the scoreboard, mate. Like, you know, get over yourselves. What do you got?
I'd like to say it doesn't bother me, but I think I mentioned this before. I got into a bit of a Twitter argument with, I don't know, she probably was 17 or 18, One Direction fan, who made a comment about the tarps, and it just irritated me. And I bit, which, you know, I've just got to move on. But it just, you know, that's all they've got. But, you know, the bottom line is the crowds still stayed on. You know, we haven't been doing great, but, you know, we've still been getting decent, you know, decent crowds in. And, you know, you'd say hopefully on, you know, Saturday night we're going to get a decent crowd against the Doggies as well.
You coming to that one now?
No, I can't say that I am, guys, but thanks for making me...
bandwagoner, isn't it?
How many home games have you been to this year, supporter of the year?
Oh, nearly as many as you.
No, how many home games are you likely to get to this year to offer your support to the club?
Probably two.
Two. Wow.
Is it, Al, can I just ask, is it because we've been losing a bit that you sort of jumped off?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because we've been losing, I think it may have to do with my geographical location, being in Australian Capital Territory, and Port Adelaide really don't come there that often. Return flights to the Australian Capital Territory come at about $600. If one of our listeners out there would like to pay for me to fly to Adelaide each home game, I'm more than happy to take them up on their generous offer. So,
mate, I used to travel from Two Wells every week. No complaints, mate. You said no worries at all.
Your time in the car is actually not much different than what his time in the air would be, to be honest.
I'm not Two Wells anymore, in fairness, but I managed that.
Yeah, well, if you're keen, you'll make it happen.
You will. You will.
Thanks, gentlemen.
So, Phil, from all accounts, I remember last week we were about to hear Joker of the Year at some stage tonight. Is that first cow off the rank, or are you just going to spring that on us later on?
We've got to leave that till the end. Because
okay.
Yeah, it's awesome.
To be fair, I don't want to just be sitting here with a sore mouth and, you know, my finely chiseled abs like aching because of laughing too much at your joke.
Yeah, no, seriously, this is the best joke you'll ever hear. If you haven't heard it already, you'll probably think I didn't deliver it that well. But honestly, I reckon it's the funniest joke ever.
Why do you reckon your wife like pleaded with us not to let you say it?
Because she's just a mean-spirited person.
That's a horrible thing to say about your wife.
What I think's going to happen, right, is my wife is concerned.
She'll get picked up by a commercial radio station.
No, she should be fine with that, a bit of extra cash. But she's concerned there'll be a bunch of ladies listening to this joke on the airwaves, and they will fall in love with me, and she'll have some competition. So pretty, I think that's what she is.
Pretty unlikely, though.
You never know.
Wait till I say the joke, and then let's see what happens. All right. Can I just quickly? We've got a bit of a quiz question for a $20 voucher at the 1870 Steakhouse, brought to you by New Vision and the Port Club. It's over to me this week, isn't it, Al?
Yeah, mate. Go your hardest. Ask right, the question. So
we're going to go back a couple of years before 1990. The first person to tweet in or Skype message, I still don't know how you Skype message, but if you know how to Skype message us or comment on the Facebook page even now, would that work?
Yeah, mate.
Sounds good. All right. Let me know who the 1988 Reserves McGarry Medal winner was.
Reserves?
Yeah. In 1988.
I've got no idea.
I love him.
Smithy.
Not D. Smith.
Okay.
What colour hair did he have?
It's not relevant, is it? No, I don't want to give away clues at this stage.
Oh, one clue here and there is all right, isn't it?
Blonde.
Smithy.
It's not Smithy, mate. It's not. Smithy wasn't playing.
He's the only player you ever talk about.
Smithy was playing State of Origin in 1988.
Listeners, when we're off air and we think, you know, we'd love to get a player on or, you know, someone of importance on, Phil's doesn't say anything. He just interjects every now and then with Smithy. Let's get Smithy on.
Do you know, wasn't even going to, like, I made a decision earlier tonight when I was on the bog that I wasn't even going to mention Darren Smith's name. And you guys, you've made me do it. So not my fault.
That was too much information, by the way. I personally texted Lauren today to try and, you know, get her back on board, and you've just, now she's gone.
You tweeted her and she thought you were a stalky spam person.
Yeah, correct, but that was just a misunderstanding. She's back on board now.
All right.
G'day, Lauren, if you're listening.
All right, so 1988 Reserves McGarry medalist.
Now, speaking of Twitter land, if you've got any comments, if you want to interact with us, please tweet, Facebook, whatever, during the show. We'll read out your tweets. We'd love to hear your feedback.
The show is a lot more enjoyable when you think people are listening. So interacting is really, really good for us as hosts.
Yeah, I do appreciate it, guys.
That it is. Well, are we gonna keep talking about the weekend, or are we going to kick into the 1990 season?
Well, I think the 1990.
Because that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Just before we go into round 17, how good have those videos been that Port Adelaide have been releasing every few days about the 1990? It's brilliant. I love it. And I kind of think they've just jumped on our bandwagon, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty sure they have.
They have. Like, when we spoke to George the other week, I think he may have gone back and said, I've been chatting to those guys on the 1870 hour and they've really got it going on, talking about 1990, and I think we could do something here. And so they got those videos together to celebrate 25 years since the 1990 Premiership, just like the guys of the 1870 hour. So,
well, I have heard on the grapevine that people think that ours is the best show on Port Fan Radio. So it wouldn't surprise me if the club's trying to copy what we're doing, because obviously it's pretty popular.
They actually called
me. Now, that person may have been a family member that said that, and they may not have listened to any other show, but, you know, I'm pretty sure if they had, they'd say the same thing. No disrespect intended to Macca or anyone else.
Can I just say one thing, though? Scott Hodges, legend. You wouldn't argue with a bloke now, though, would you?
Nah.
He's pretty darn scary.
He looks like he would take a poo bigger than me.
What?
I don't know. I've gone the bog thing again. Maybe it was your sound effects last week. But that guy, he's massive. He's huge. He's scary looking, but he is still awesome. But he's not massive in a, I'm a retired footballer and I've eaten a lot of hamburgers way. He's massive in, I would throw you into the bin. I have nothing. But he looks muscly. He looks like he could kill you.
He does look pretty big. Should we crack on with the It's round 17, is it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
So we I don't think it's been a spoiler because you said it so many times last year, but last week. But I believe we went undefeated for the rest of the season. So we played South Adelaide at Albert and Oval.
Yeah,
and that was an absolute thumping, an absolute hiding.
I think it was 24 goals, 20, 164 to 8 goals, 11, 59. And there was a massive 5,775 people at Alberton to watch the game. Young Scotty Hodges just went on his merry way and kicked a lazy 11, which... had him to go past 100 goals for the year at that point, at round 17. And I believe that made him the second only Port Adelaide player to actually kick in excess of 100 goals in a season.
Isn't that unreal? Like, you had Tim Evans did it in, what, 1980, 82, 84? And that's then, right. Yeah, in the history of the club, Scott Hodges still, to this day, is the only... other player, isn't he?
I think because no, Tyler, I think you, no, Tyler no, kicked 100.
No. I reckon he was 90 odd. I reckon he was about 97. I don't reckon he ever cracked the ton.
Well, hey, that's what we need Twitter for. Facebook, come on and sort this argument out. I think yep. Martin, I think Tyler Mark did Tyler. Score him.
I don't reckon he did. And I reckon if I'm right, Al, next time you're in Adelaide, you owe me a beer.
Okay.
But just pay for it at a bar. I'll go in and say, ours pay for it because I don't want to actually speak to you in person.
That's fair enough. And when you come to Canberra, you can come buy me a beer, which will be never.
And some fireworks.
Generally, when Phil has to pay up at a bet, generally he doesn't follow through. So he's got form.
What are you talking about, mate? He's yeah. made stuff up. Always pay up my bets. But I'm right, you're wrong. So, and we will find out soon. I still reckon it's only Scott Hodges. Mark Tyler, I reckon, I'm pulling this out of thin air, but I reckon about 97 goals. I don't reckon he got more than that.
Yeah, well, we hopefully get somebody to settle this argument because I thought he got over 100, but...
soon find out.
That's right.
We'll soon find out. But how good's that? Hodges again, 11 goals, 4. There was a young, good-looking centre-half forward by the name of Darren Smith who kicked a lazy 3 goals, 2 as well. Good win. Yeah.
The one thing that I find quite staggering about that 100 goals is, like, to the point of 1990, we'd won 29 premierships and we'd played to that point in 52 grand finals. And of those years, there's only been, this is the fourth time, because Tim Evans has done it 3 times, of having a century goal kicker. But I think that may have to do with the team first philosophy of Port Adelaide, which we still have today.
Yeah, good point, Al. Good point.
Well, I like what you're saying there, Al. And I like that you'll be acknowledging very soon that you were wrong about Mark Tyler.
So, in that particular game, obviously big scores from Scotty would have probably put him best on ground, but others in the best were Choco, Abba, Darren Smith, both Smiths actually, and Brownie featured in the best players.
And there was a little blonde-haired fella by the name of Adrian Setri, who kicked 2 goals as well. Good player, like Setri, don't you? I do like Setri.
Yeah,
little blonde-haired fella.
And it was an interesting game that ended up being like because we ended up pummeling them and we weren't getting much of a contest there. Towards the end of the game, I think it was last 10 minutes or so of the game. Actually quite old at that point, Greg Phillips decided to strut down to the forward lines and kick pretty close. I think he marked it the goal square or just outside, if I recall rightly. But the hilarious thing was he decided he was going to drop kick the ball for goal because he had no respect for the opposition because we were just pumping them. It was like a training drill. And, yeah, it went through the point post from point-blank range. So, yeah, he had... I think he was pretty disgusted with the performance that South were giving Port Adelaide. Like, it was like a training run. And they weren't feeling like they were being challenged. So he went down there and gave him a clip around the ear in not the literal sense, but showed it to them that, yeah, wasn't real happy with what they were dishing up.
So if you thought that round 17 was a thumping, round 18, which was Adelaide Oval, I think, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Against the Double Blues. And we're getting used to these massive scores by Port Adelaide, led by the great full forward Scotty Hodges. 34 goals, 18. Like, what's that, 40, 50, 52 scoring shots to South, 10, 14, 74.
How good is that? They kicked 30 goals in the last three quarters.
What's that, 150-odd points and 148 points. 148-point win.
A 14-goal last term.
That's madness, isn't it?
I'd love to see that replicated this Saturday night.
Well, we might as well because we have every single week. You just don't see scores like that anymore, do you?
We haven't said that before.
Just amazing. Like, Scotty Hodges bags another 11.
Russell Boyd, 4 goals. Tregenza, 4 goals. Wankanine, 4 goals. Choco Ginova, 3. Darren Smith, 1 goal, 1. Probably not enough from a centre-half forward, I wouldn't imagine, in a 34-goal score.
But
disappointing.
An 11-goal 6 wasn't enough to get Hodges best on ground either.
But the one thing that they were playing at Adelaide Oval and the score, they were actually yelling out to Jack, why don't you declare? Because it was such a pumping. So, like, the spectators were having a bit of fun with it because it was a pretty disgraceful display from Sturt. And I think they were actually, like, at one point during the game, they were actually in front, and then we just went bang and just destroyed them. So,
an interesting fact, Scott Hodges, the first player in history, first league footballer in history to kick 10 or more goals in 4 successive matches.
That's a pretty impressive record, isn't it?
Yeah, there was
I said it last week. You would have been shattered if you were standing on Scott Hodges at that time.
Like 5 weeks and you could pretty much win, like of that sort of form, pretty much wins you a Coleman medal these days, doesn't it?
Oh, doesn't it? Do you reckon we'll ever go back to a full forward, like full forwards regularly kicking 100 plus?
No.
Done.
Because the game's changed so much that...
It's changed, but could it change back?
It's just like soccer in a way where, you know, the forwards are always so far up the pitch and the game's just gone more and more like that, I think. And it's just, you know, you never see massive hauls. Like, it takes an exceptional player in soccer to score more than sort of, you know, your average, you know, whatever it is in the Premier League, 25 or whatever. Yeah, it's just not going to happen. The game's evolved so much where there's such a premium on fitness that it's not going to go back the other way. You know what I mean? Players aren't going to get less fit. It would take rule changes by the AFL, I think, to bring the full forward back. Like netball, where they've got zones. No one wants to see that.
No, definitely not. But this game was full of statistical and records, basically, which included the biggest winning margin between Port and Sturt, the highest score by Port Adelaide, the highest scoring quarter, and the highest match aggregate, so of combined scores. So it was pretty impressive when you think about it in those terms. So yeah, and it was another Port Adelaide was getting a bit jacked off with having no competition. Greg Phillips actually went back and ran down forward again, but this time he did a drop kick for a goal. So that was good. And there was a bit of they were walking to tease and torment the Sturt opponents because they were just, why don't you give us something to play with because you're not giving us anything. So the boys were getting pretty frustrated with it.
Just a casual, what was it, 44? 76 shots on goal that game.
Yeah, it was.
What was that?
But 10 minutes into the second quarter, as I said earlier, Sturt actually led by 2 points. And thereafter, it was like 30 goals, 12 to 6 goals, 6.
It was kind of like the Port Melbourne game on the weekend, but a little bit more extreme.
Yeah. Just a little.
Just a tad. We got a cool tweet from Fast Metrics saying shout out to Foxmaster General, Big Crazy Al, and Phil.
Ah, Fast Metrics. You know who that is, Big Al?
Would that be our friend Muck?
No, it would not. Oh, I thought has a Mexican girlfriend.
Oh, a Mexican Cody.
Yeah.
Well, the important thing is everyone else is obviously I don't know the bloke, but you guys have got cool nicknames, and I'm just Phil.
Well, they do now. Cody Miller. Champion bloke.
Yeah.
Champion bloke.
Well, Cody needs to give me a cool nickname as well. Big Crazy Hour, Fox Master General.
Phil. If I look through my my Facebook, bear with us here, listeners, for a moment, while we just go on a personal tangent. He did last night, actually. He said, because he's an Office fan, so he said, "So, Fox, you're the chilled out entertainer. Al is Keith, and Phil would be Gareth, right?" So, unlucky, Phil, unlucky. Isn't it?
Your laugh was the girliest laugh I've ever heard, Nick.
Oh,
controversy. Controversy.
Harsh comment.
I just want to just go back to my question for the $20 voucher. I gave a bit of a clue away a moment before. 1988 reserves McGarry medalist, blonde-haired fella. Nick, you commented that I did like him. He might have kicked a couple of goals.
Was it Smithy?
No, it's not Smithy. Smithy was too good for reserves, mate.
So what are you saying about this bloke?
This guy's a gun. But
he was playing reserves.
He was a reserves gun who became a... Oh, okay, I'll do another clue. Who wants another clue?
Yep.
Okay.
No, I want another clue.
Those Port Adelaide videos that they've been doing, there was one recently that was almost dedicated to this fella. Might have turned the game in the 1990 SNFL Grand Final. Boom, boom. If you guys know, you can't say anything now anyway.
Yeah, it's all good.
I got no idea.
Well, Al knows because I messaged him.
That's right.
It's yeah.
Why didn't you message me?
Well, because Al asked me to think of a question, so I thought of one. And he said, "Who is it?" And I said, "This is who it is." Would you like me to message you as well, Nick?
No, that's... I want to be surprised like everyone else.
Is everyone pumped about the joke later?
Oh, I can't sort of focus because I'm just pumped about that.
But Al, are you pumped?
Yeah, I'm pumped, but I'm actually pumped to give away a $20 voucher to the Port Club. Like, there's so many events at the moment coming up, like the Players Uncut, which I think is on the 17th of June, and then there's a night with Bucky Cunningham on the 19th of June. There's just stuff going everywhere. The Port Club is where you want to be. So I think get a couple of... nice ales while you're down at the club having a meal.
If you said frothy, I was going to hang up.
Oh.
I would have done it. No.
Idle threats. The show would have just
went shocking if I wasn't on there anymore.
Still a bit disappointed that they got rid of the crumb lamb chops.
Enough about the lamb chops. What was so good about them, Nick?
Well, lamb's pretty awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were crumbed. Doesn't get any better than that. I don't know.
I've got to go back there. It's my wedding anniversary coming up, right? On the in July, and Mrs. and I are having a date night. She's gone, "I want to go somewhere with a good steak."
Well, hold on. This is the caveat being, as long as no one else steals you away after they hear this joke, right?
That's true. So is it romantic enough to take her to the 1870 Steakhouse?
Well, it's disappointing if you don't. You had your 30th there as well.
Yeah.
I did.
Port Adelaide Football Club. Wait up.
Not 30 yet, though, so I have my 21st there, maybe. Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Would that be romantic enough? Because you guys know that I'm a pretty romantic sort of bloke.
I think you need to decide that.
Now, bearing in mind this is our 8th wedding anniversary and this is our second date night. We had one on our first wedding anniversary. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, I reckon the 1870 Steakhouse sounds good and they'll come back with a review.
We're going to do our show from there one day.
We'll do it that day because that's actually on a Tuesday. So I'm going to have to tell you on the 7th of July I won't be able to do the show unless you guys rock up to the steakhouse as well.
Would that go well? So that's like 2 days before the Collingwood game. Oh, let's do it. So can we just like
what do we do?
Interrupt your date night?
Yeah, so like, what will happen, right, is I'll be having date night for my wedding anniversary with my wife at this 1870 Steakhouse. I'm going to look up and I'm like, oh, our Nick. How you going? And then we just do the show from there.
Take your laptop as well. I just got to do some business while we're here.
And then, because I'm so romantic, she'll be pretty keen when I get home, no doubt.
To listen to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All righty. We'll get on to that, I reckon. So on to round 19.
Centrals.
Played the Doggies.
Always good to beat this mob. Probably my least favourite SANFL side, all told.
It's because you hate people from Elizabeth.
No, that's not true at all. I think we've got some fantastic fans in Elizabeth. I just don't like the club. I think they're, ferals, to be honest with you, but in the nicest possible rivalry kind of way, they're just not my cup of tea, probably because they dominated so much in the last 10 years, I suppose. But not today, not on the 1st of September 1990, they didn't.
Well, they were looking all right at three-quarter time, though, Nick.
They were.
Wasn't too bad, considering the fact that we'd smashed every other club for the last few weeks. It was 9-15 to 7-9 at three-quarter time. And then what happened? Bang! That's what happened.
So 3 goals down, you would have thought you had sort of half a chance into the last quarter.
Half a chance.
Nah. And who went bang?
You tell me who went bang.
That's what I'm asking you.
I should have the information in front of me. And let me just go back to my memory bank.
But I do know that Scotty Hodges was rather inaccurate in front of goal, kicking 5-7 on this occasion.
I don't reckon. Do you know that
was evened out by your
man. It was
a
very accurate bloke, wasn't it?
There was blonde hair, centre half forward.
Number 28, born February 9th, 1965. Is that creepy?
There's a lot about what you do that's creepy, Phil. what do you invite Smithy to your date night? Imagine that.
If he came, I'd dump my wife. See you later. Done.
I've served 8 years under you, catcher. I've got Smithy here now.
Darren Smith. Oh.
Got to get him on. You would be.
I've already said, if you get Darren Smith on, I won't actually believe it's Darren Smith because you guys wind me up and you get like, I don't know, that Cody bloke to come on and say he's Darren Smith. And I'll be carrying on like I've just met the Beatles or something.
Does anyone know what Smithy does for a crust now?
Well, he used to be a fireman.
Really?
Yeah. There's a fire. Him and Stephen Williams always used to get a bit knackered during the season, I'm sure. There's a fiery.
Oh, there's another thing for our listeners to tweet in about. What
saves lives and
give us a few leads on him.
Yeah,
surely ours mate Rick, Fishing Rick. Maybe you can sort of organise some sort of Smithy rendezvous.
That's a very interesting pronunciation.
Yeah.
Look, we haven't got a tweet in about Mark Tyler. I want to double check this. I'm gonna. You guys talk about the game, and I'm gonna get the Google on and find out whether I'm right and if our owes me a beer.
What about Nicholas Teal? Is he out there tonight? He seems a pretty switched on kind of guy. Macca? Anyone out there?
My mum.
Lauren. Do you know this? The answer to this question? The Mark Tyler or the 1988 reserve McGarry medalist? Lauren, if you know, tweet in. We'd love to hear from you.
Have we got any tweets at all tonight apart from Katie?
We have, but I've just gone out of Twitter to Google my Google.
Why'd you go out of Twitter?
Mate, it's not just me. I'm not the only Twitter person.
I want to hear the tweets.
Well, go on to Twitter.
I'm on Twitter, but I'm not logged in to...
Well, you know what to do. I'm just checking the leading goal kickers. Just to... Oh, ow.
Yes, my friend.
Who's
right? The way that you're talking, it sounds like Al might be right.
Doesn't sound good, does it, for Phil?
Not for Phil.
Oh, God.
Can I dance? I'd like to do a dance. Right. Like, can I do the truffle shuffle?
When are you in Adelaide, mate?
28th of June's the next time.
All right. So you know that I like quite expensive beer, don't you, Al? Because you were wrong, and I was right. 1992, Mark Tyler, 97 goals. 1993, 87 goals. In your face, you owe me beer.
Okay. I will pay. Boom. I have no issues paying my debts. This is something that you don't have that skill, but that's okay.
I never lose bets, mate, because I'm never wrong.
Yeah, no, that's not true. That you think your tats look cool?
No, I don't even
tough
think
stickers.
That. All right, whatever. So, yes, Port smashed Central's in the end.
Yeah, fantastic.
So to the three goal difference at three-quarter time, end up winning by a casual 79 points.
Yeah, it was a 10-goal five final quarter to 4 points.
Who was in
That'll
the best?
That'll do it. That'll do it.
Who was the
Gavin
best players?
Gavin Maganine, Russell Johnston, Greggy Phillips, Timmy Ginever, Hodges, Darren Smith. Abba.
And George Biachi was giving us a lot of thrust off the back from the back pocket, which was great.
A lot of thrust off the back pocket.
Yeah, he was giving us that rebound 50, as they refer to it these days.
I like your explanation better.
You like thrusting?
Yeah, going on to round 20, yeah.
Okay.
The arch enemy.
Yes, well, we're playing Norwood again after losing, I think it was round 11, was it, boys? Well, it was the last time that we received it a loss. So, we were playing Norwood at Football Park. I think it was Port Adelaide ended up getting the win.
They didn't get the chocolates?
No.
It's the win?
I was going to say chocolates, and
then you realise it sounds myself. Stupid saying it.
No, I yeah, just realised cool. that I'm just going to cop it from you, but it doesn't matter anyway, because you'll reference it again. Port Adelaide got the win with 21 goals, 24. A lazy 45 scoring shots, 150, to 9 goals, 14, 68. So, at Footy Park with a lazy 22,000 people there, so...
Now, you know how I'm really good at, like, maths and stuff? Right? I'm just thinking of a few things. So, at this stage, we'd won 9 in a row.
Yep.
This is off the top of my head. You can check the details later and you'll find out this is a fact. Port Adelaide, in the last 9 rounds of this minor round in 1990, scored 202 goals, 144 points, which is, of course, 1,356 points overall. And the opponents got 96 goals, 119, 695. So over a 9-week period, 1,356 points to 695 points. Yeah? All off the top of my head.
Didn't read it. Mathematics is like your strong suit. I know that.
Just had a quick flick, up and down, bang. That's what I got.
Hey, Phil, are you that excited that you're leaning into the microphone?
Am I getting all like
no, out? You just sound loud.
Do I?
Yeah.
I think he's just like, excited.
Yeah, I'm excited because my joke's about to happen.
Yeah, so that's it. That's the four rounds for tonight. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
What's left to talk about?
Oh, but don't forget, Scotty Hodges still kicked a lazy he had a bit of a down game. I think he only kicked 8 this week, so in round 20. So we didn't get the best player. It was still Abba. So Bruce Abernathy was still having a pretty consistent season. Hodges, Rowan Smith, Tregenza, the Curiosity Show, Timmy G, and Wanganeen.
Curiosity Show called my sister when she wrote him a letter. Yes. I recited that story. I won't say it again.
We won't bore the poor fan radio listeners, the 1870 hour faithful
with that. Time's come on,
I want to give this voucher away.
So talk about the tweets. What tweets have we had?
Have we had any more tweets?
We've had one from Matthew Bradley, and I'm going to be honest, I don't really get what he said because I can't remember what we were saying 34 minutes ago.
No, he's replying to a question from the station earlier. Do you think legit tackles that go high should create a free kick? That was
clicked on that. That makes more sense now. Yeah. Boom, boom.
Anything else, Phil?
Shake the room.
We had Nick Turner send a message, basically, I think, indicating that you're a Twitter stalker, Nick, with your spam. Nick Turner, which I think is... No, I don't think he's necessarily saying you were, just a lot of port-related spammy tweets, like the one that you sent to Lauren earlier. But yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
My mum's not on Twitter, so she hasn't sent anything.
That's right. I'll check the
Her moustache.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
That's a highly inappropriate, Nick.
Considering you two used to be lovers, you're speaking about my mum like this. I called your dad for a while, and now you're talking trash about my mum.
You did say a moustache joke about my mum a couple of weeks ago, so...
So you're just using my original joke?
Basically.
All right. Who wants to hear the joke, or are we going to go into...
Oh, just bring it on us, feel like when
you're ready.
Like, you don't have to just do it when you think the time's right. Don't ask, just when you think the time and the vibe's right. Because you only get one time to say it once.
Well, I don't feel the vibe's right now. Like I wanted to chat about a couple other things, like around the grounds, just AFL news, and then right at the end we'll get Phil to.
No, he can do it when he wants now. He's only got 10 minutes to go. It
takes about 10 minutes as well.
Oh, really?
No, not quite that long. Anyway, around the grounds, what are we talking about now?
Well, I was going to talk about the Carlton coaching job, and there's been a bit of people circling some of the Port Adelaide coaches and in Vossie and Buddha and Nixie. They haven't been too receptive.
We have learnt that ruling yourself out doesn't necessarily mean a lot.
I reckon I heard 4 of the last 5 new coaches ruled themselves out at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offence to Buddha. I love Buddha. But would he even be on the radar though, do you think, for a senior position?
Who would know what their criteria is? Certainly been around football a long time and he's pretty well regarded. So, but yeah, does he have the seat? Who knows? Yeah, you just don't know, do you? Some people just think someone would make a good coach because they're good looking, wouldn't they? Some fans. It's probably a bit different to what actually goes on.
I don't know. Do you think as well? I reckon there's times that coaches rule themselves out when they've sort of been. I don't think that's necessarily happened in this instance because it's just sort of come up. But, when a coach has been kind of told, you're not on the radar with our club, they turn around and say, yeah, I'm not really interested anymore. Kind of like ratting with Port.
Yeah.
because they need to save face a bit. But yeah, I don't know. Like, do you want to coach Carlton at the moment? Not specifically you.
Nah, they wouldn't be. They haven't got a great culture. Like, you know, the boardroom antics, I don't think would lend itself well to, you know, being a place where you'd want to coach. I don't think it doesn't seem a very stable club at the moment.
But then, you know, Port.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, look, maybe. I mean,
you know, there's a lot of I think similarities there. We were an embarrassment publicly.
Yeah.
And there's no denying that there is no way, you know, you go back to, you know, 2011, 2012. If I had an 18-year-old kid who was about to be drafted and I wasn't a Port fan, I was based in Victoria, Port would have been the last club I would have wanted them to have been drafted by. And you look how quickly it turns around. So there might be that person who wants that challenge to come in and you know, maybe be the next Ken Hinckley to sort of turn a club that's a bit of a rabble around.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to do that, though, because it could also be a career killer.
That's exactly right. But Port Adelaide was a little bit different in the sense that Matty Primus had laid a fairly strong foundation by playing all the kids and playing them for a number of years and giving them game time, whereas, like, at the moment, Carlton's, like, best player is Chris Judd, you know what I mean? And so they don't have that big group of youngsters because their recruiting has been horrendous. So they don't have that group of youngsters to leverage off.
They're a bit similar to Melbourne in that sense that their recruiting's been dreadful and their development of players has been dreadful as well. Like, you know, Bryce Gibbs has never gone on to the next level and, you know, there's a lot of players that just haven't fulfilled their promise. But if you took the job, you'd certainly want the assurance that, you know, a couple of bad years and it's not going to be, you're not going to get the knife, you know what I mean? Because they're going to need a long time rebuilding.
But the thing is, you're never going to get that assurance. They might say it, but bang. You see how quickly they can just rip up a contract.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you stuff it up, you're gone. You're finished. Like, as a coach,
Look at Mark Neild. I mean, he'll never, ever get a senior coaching gig again. And
absolutely.
And how, like, you know, I read someone say the other day, when you analyse the list profile he had then, how much has Paul Roos adequately improved Melbourne from when Neil was coaching, you know what I mean? Like, given the extra games that have gone into players over the couple of years that he's been there, would that have been a natural progression that would have happened under Neil anyway? And I mean, you know, he's been there a few years, Roosie. So, yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, it's a tough gig, AFL coaching. I would hate to do it.
I wouldn't mind the paycheck.
Wouldn't be worth the stress.
Dead said though. You look at, like, do you reckon Mick Malthouse right now, he's taking his extra 500 grand and going, I'll be right. Oh, my work getting rid of me and giving me a $500,000 check to leave.
Does it make you happy that you don't get to see his off-centre moustache anymore?
Look, it wasn't every week it was off-centre, but it was occasionally, and yeah, it did annoy me a bit.
So, Phil, we're running out of time.
All right, you ready?
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Drum roll, please. Have you got a drum roll?
I don't. No, I'm not game to use that until I've worked it out.
Okay. All right. Are we ready to go?
Let's do it.
Really?
Be honest with me as well. Like,
you'll know from the laughter or lack of.
All right. And so, also,
guys, before we start, if this hits the money, we're going to have a weekly Phil's joke segment.
Now, this is literally the only joke I've got that I can say.
Well, if this nail, you hit the nail on the head, you're going to have to come up with an awesome joke every week. So, like,
all right. Done.
All right, get into it, Phil.
Okay. I've run out of drink and my mouth's all dry. So, just bear with me. So, okay. There's a moth, right? So, there's a moth and it flies into a podiatrist's office. And the podiatrist. Awesome. Hey, Al.
Don't interrupt, Al.
You've just, if it doesn't work now, it's because you interrupted.
Yeah, poor call.
So I'm going to have to start again. So a moth flies into a podiatrist's office.
All right, and the podiatrist looks at the moth. Really? The podiatrist looks at the moth and says, "What can I help you with, Mr. Moth?" And the moth goes, "Doc, I don't even know where to start." And the podiatrist says, "Why don't you start from the beginning, Mr. Moth?" The moth goes, "Well, I'll talk to you about my work. My work, Doc, it's killing me. You know, I've been working for the last 18 years for this bloke, and he's the most terrible boss I've ever had. You know, 18 years working 12-hour days, 6 days a week. What do I have for it? Nothing. Barely touch my mortgage. You know, my moth house isn't even close to being paid off. And I'll be honest, mate, I don't even know what I'm doing there. And I don't reckon my boss, frankly, knows what I'm doing either. But he just loves the power that he has over me. And he works me 12 hours a day, 6 days a bloody week. And frankly, it's just doing my head in. And Doc, it doesn't get better than that. You know, you think when you get home, you'd at least come home to a beautiful wife who'd have your dinner cooked, your moth dinner, whatever us moths eat, on the moth kitchen table. And, you know, she'd show you the passion that you deserve. But nah, not my wife, Doc. I'll be honest. I get home and I look at this woman moth, this moth woman that I used to have such passion for. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. Even if I had a moth Viagra, I still wouldn't be able to be aroused by this shell of a moth woman that I once loved so dearly. You know, we lay in bed, in our moth bed at night, and I just listen to her, and she does that stupid half breathing, half snoring. Thing. And do you know all I want to do, Doc? I don't want to make love to her. I want to grab my little moth arms, my hands, and I want to wrap my moth hands around her moth neck, and I want to squeeze the absolute life out of her. But do I do it, Doc? No, I don't. Do you know why? Because in the same way that I've been working for the same bastard for the last 18 moth years, I'm a coward when it comes to my wife as well. I won't leave her. I'll be stuck in this relationship forever. I'll be working for this bastard for the next 18 years because I'm a coward. And when it comes to my kids, you think, oh, Doc, yeah, you think I'd have some good kids, wouldn't you? Nah. My daughter, Doc, this girl moth that I should love, I should appreciate, you know, I should be proud of. I'm not proud of her. Do you know why, Doc? I'll be honest, you've probably slept with her because it seems like every little moth that I've heard of has had relations with my daughter. She's a hussy, and it pains me to say it because I'm still a young moth, Doc. I'm not old enough to be a grand moth. I don't want little grand moth kitties flying and walking, doing what moths do around. And what if she gets an STD, Doc? A little moth STD. This is someone I'm supposed to be proud of. Doesn't end there though, Doc. My son. I don't even love him anymore. Because when I look in his moth eyes, what do I see? I see a reflection of myself. I see someone who, like me, is going to be an absolute coward. You know, he's going to work for a crap boss. He's going to put in a 12-hour day, seven days a week, whatever. He's going to have nothing to show for it. When I look at him, I look at myself, and he is a joke, just like his old man. And his kids are going to be jokes because they've come out of my moth testicles. And basically, I just produce crap. And Doc, I just don't know what to say, but I'm struggling, mate. I'm really struggling. And the podiatrist, he's a bit intrigued, and he looks at the moth and he goes, "Moth, you seem troubled, but I'm a podiatrist. you probably need to see a psychiatrist. Is there a reason you came to see me? And the moth looks at him and goes, the light was on. Yeah?
That was terrible.
Oh, come on.
That was terrible.
The light. The view that was better than the punchline.
Moths are attracted to the light.
It was so like, the moth
went into the podiatrist's office because the light was on.
Oh, my goodness. Seriously.
Thank you very much. Out of 10, what would you rate it, Al?
A 2? Only because of your voices?
Yeah, I was thinking a 3 just for the voice.
Come on.
That was absolute rubbish.
I'm not going to get that 5.
I trusted you, Phil. I trusted
you. Can I just say, could it have been, though, it might not have worked because Al sort of spoke at the start of the joke that might have thrown you a bit, Nick?
No, I'm pretty sure it was just a crap joke.
Whatever. That, in Kate we trust.
Yeah.
And rather than in Ken, in Kate we trust, and the lovely wife may be right, like most wives are, that was a lame joke and we should.
But just in case you didn't get it, it's because like moths are attracted to the light.
So sorry about that, listeners, that we wasted your time. Boy, oh boy.
Well, thanks, guys. For a beautiful show. We've got a few shows coming up on Port Fan Radio in the next week. We've got Matt and Nick are doing the Maggie's Hour tomorrow night, and they'll be reviewing last weekend's game. And then we've got Rick and Macca are doing their preview show on Thursday night at 8 o'clock Port Adelaide time. And then we've got a new show, like a post pre and post game show this weekend on Port Fan Radio, which will be awesome. That will be run by Andrew, John and Jimmy. So look forward to bringing them to the Port Adelaide Fan Radio family. So it's a lot of things happening on Port Fan Radio at the moment, but we really appreciate your feedback. And
your tweets. Yeah,
tweets.
And that awesome, some feedback on the awesome joke.
Yeah, please give feedback on this awesome joke. Like, it was one of the greatest jokes of all time, or that we were led to believe, and it kind of fell a little bit flat. But
did it? Did it though? Or...
No, it didn't feel flat. It was just average. The build up, I was laughing. I thought that was pretty funny, and it was so crap.
It's so not just crap, so crap.
Yeah, it was average.
Really?
It's not to the point where it was embarrassing, but. It was a dad joke,
yeah, but a
really long one.
Nah,
well, anyway, we've gone a bit over. So
we have, and we don't get paid overtime.
Catch you later, listeners.
Cool. Love you guys.
Go the power.